Hello, my dear Advent friends. Chris with you once again, and welcome to the big day. Christmas Eve has arrived at last, and we are all prepared to light our fifth and final candle. Now, traditions vary, so some Advent sets don't have a fifth candle, but others have a white candle today for the light of Christ. So if you're lighting candles with us, you should have the first four lit, or light them now, for hope, peace, joy, and love. My studio desk is very well lit and smells ever so Christmassy. And there is just one unlit candle remaining. The fifth is for Jesus himself. Now, that's a pretty big question to ask me. What did Jesus mean in your life this year? How much time do you have? But then, I feel like we've said it already. He is hope. He is peace. He is joy. He is love. And above all, he is with us. Back in Matthew 1, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. One of my favorite Christmas movies is about a boy with Hugh Grant, whose character Will is convinced that he can get through life without needing or being needed by anyone. But alas, when circumstances bring him to actually care about a kid, and that kid needs real help with real life issues, Will feels useless. It's not his skill set. But my favorite line in the movie is when the boy's mom says, "Will, you're not useless. You're here. And that matters." I love that. Even though it's a secular movie, and PG-13 if you're curious, the heart of it is the very real difference made by being there with someone. You don't always have to fix it. Sometimes you just get through it together. And that's what Jesus meant to me this year. In a million little ways and through countless different people, Jesus was with me. Also in the movie, the kid grows up to be an X-Men superhero, so very happy ending. Are the movies connected? No, but same actor, so I mashed them together. Well, guys, it's time to light our final candle. Lighters ready? Let's pray. Lord, we light this candle together to honor the coming of Jesus, to be with us. Lord, help us to see how you are with us through so many people, and help us to bring your presence to those who need it. In Jesus' strong name, amen. All right, fifth candle ready. And now in the warm glow of five Advent candles, let's listen together to our audio guide through the Christmas story in Luke 2, which is me again. So, once again, I have the awkward job of introducing myself. Here's me. Welcome back, everyone. Luke chapter 2 on our journey through the Word, the story of the day that peace came to earth. That peace arrived as a little baby boy. And for anyone who has ever longed for peace in the world or peace in your heart, this story is for you. It is, of course, the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. And it begins at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And so every person in the vast Roman Empire traveled back to their hometowns to be registered and counted. Verse 4 introduces Joseph, living in Nazareth, but now traveling south to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. Don't miss that. Chapter 1 introduced us to King Herod. Chapter 2 to Caesar Augustus. But whatever happened to the line of King David? Verse 5. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. Betrothed and pregnant will get you a lot of sideways glances and muttered judgments, but underneath this very human story, there is a great undercurrent of God's mighty hand working everything together. Many details of this story were written on scrolls centuries before it all happened. Bethlehem, the line of David, and a virgin with child, enduring an arduous journey. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And just as simple as that, Almighty God entered the world that he created, a little baby boy who was laid down to sleep in a feeding trough. Verse 8 introduces a group of shepherds out under the starry skies above Israel's countryside, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Bethlehem has pasture land for sheep to this day, and I can tell you, the hilly terrain provides some great viewpoints for stargazing. Now, shepherds in that day were among the lowly of society, yet God has a way of lifting up the lowly and honoring the humble. So in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." That is awesome. Never forget that the story of Jesus is good news of great joy. And may it always be great joy to your heart and mine. In the town of David, a Savior has been born. Jesus was born to save. I am often perplexed by books and articles that attempt to explain how Jesus became Savior as his disciples exaggerated his story over time. But that's not the historical record. Here, Luke records the story, prophesied for centuries beforehand, and now proclaimed by an angel on high, of a baby who is Messiah and Lord. And Jesus came not to condemn, but to save. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace on earth. It's a popular phrase around Christmas time, and for good reason. It's right here in the Christmas story. But sometimes those three amazing words get separated from the story of Jesus' birth. I remember riding in Small World at Disneyland around Christmas one year, and it was all lit up and beautiful. At the end of the ride, "Peace on Earth" was posted beautifully on a banner, and again in languages from all around the world. A lovely sentiment, but of course there was nothing about the birth of a Savior. Now, I'm not offended that they don't include Jesus in their Christmas decor. It is our job to proclaim the good news of great joy, not Disney's. But it is interesting. The whole world loves this phrase, "peace on earth." We long for it, but how do we find it? And why do the angels proclaim it here? How does the birth of Messiah bring peace? The world can wish us peace, and all that well-wishing may be very well-intended. But where do we find it? Here, a host of angels proclaim it. Well, I don't know what they thought, but I can tell you what they said. Let's go to Bethlehem and see. They do just that, and then they're ready to go tell it on the mountain to anyone they can find that Jesus Christ is born. And we'll close it there. That's it for our Christmas Eve story. Thank you so much for making us part of your journey on this day. I am deeply honored. So let's close out again with prayer. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to be God with us. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Well, we have just one day left in the plan. Now, I know December 25th is busy for some, so no pressure. It's totally okay if you listen later. But if you could use the company, we'd be honored to be with you. We're going to close out with the story of the Magi and the three gifts, traditionally read on the 12th day of Christmas, so you have time. Don't forget to take a little time to share together what Jesus meant in your lives this year. And Merry Christmas, everyone. Enjoy his company.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.